after years in stasis lock. Freshly released from the bowels of Cybertron itself. The legend returns. Transformers! Now, broadcasting from the underground transmitters of TFormers.com and TFPodcast.com comes... Ryan.
I took the LIFO, like, life assessment test, and it said that I was too passive, so now I'm going to be aggressive.
JD.
Freedom is the right of all sentient beings except for Decepticons who get shot in the head.
XB.
Now, I don't mean that in the hateful, sarcastic way I usually say it.
John.
No, I just imagine you, like, sweating and biting your lip and kind of slowly leaning forward.
Ender.
We have a long-standing relationship, me and Hasbro. I give them money, they give me stuff. When they won't give me stuff, it ticks me off.
And Rob.
I haven't paid the dolls any attention. I'm more about the 3-inch Real American Hero guys, but Firefly's rad. He wants to tell you about Transformers.
This is not your father's podcast. This is Radio Free Cybertron.
All right, you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. This is Rob. I'm speaking for Brian today, who's out with a cold. And with me is the normal guys. Everyone speak up.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Your mom.
Yeah!
Which is, of course, the best insult ever, because you don't have to add anything to it. You could say that to anything.
True story.
Yeah, your mom.
Exactly. OTFCC 04, a good like Finback Super X, exactly. Was driving all of us to OTFCC in her van, and we were trying to be good. And all of a sudden, Hooper X slips out we're like making fun of the gambler. Goes, your mom knows when to fold them, and we all, because my mom's sitting right there driving us cross country. And then all of a sudden, I just go, "Your mom's a hooker." And then my mom goes, y'all better shut up or I'm calling all your moms. And it just became a your mom fest the entire trip. Anyway.
I once worked in an office where the owner of the office was a friend of my mother's from years hence. And one of my coworkers there, after my mom had come in to say hi to the office manager, not to me, so he hadn't seen us together. He was like, oh, man, she's a little old, but I'd like a piece of that. It's like, what? It's like, she comes in here every once in a while. I'm like, I gotta say, I just feel like, dude, that's, you know what? I'm not gonna talk to you now, so I'm gonna go. I didn't even tell him, but
yeah, that's pretty gross.
It's like, the guy's like 50. I'm like, Sam's like, he's married too, and he's telling me this. I'm like, thanks, Randy. I'm gonna go back to my desk forever. Right. So.
An iPad doesn't have a USB port, but your mom certainly does. Anyway, what we got for news this week, guys? Hasbro names the VP of production for the Hub. Wow. Did you guys also know that?
Yeah.
Apparently
probably
she's
about as exciting as when they named the president.
Yeah, it's she's made some things. Yeah.
She has done things in her life.
Things have happened while she was there.
At this
Who
rate,
is she?
Ouch.
She made
for her. I hope she's not listening.
Oh, wait. I think she was behind Spectacular Spider-Man. Was that the newer Spider-Man cartoon?
Let's see.
Yeah. I guess so.
Previously a line producer
on
show
everyone loves.
Scooby-Doo, Batman, Mystery of the Batwoman, and Tom and Jerry. Hold on to your hats.
Thomas!
All right. That's any day now I'm expecting one of these news sites to report what kind of copier they're using at the Hub and what kind of coffee they're using in the office, and people are gonna be like, oh man, they shouldn't leave to Hasbro not to use free trade coffee. Anyway. Human Alliance Barricade and Legends Devastator turning up at Walmart. Wow. That's $60 right there in your shopping cart.
I think JD can tell us a little bit about one of those, too.
Yes, I do happen to have right here in my hand Legends Devastator. Yes, envy me. Be jealous.
Have you opened it?
Oh, yes. I did open this one because, Well, of course, I didn't open my Japanese versions, but it's actually a nice figure. Yeah, I mean, it's decently articulated. It's incredible. You know?
Really? Does it fall apart on its own like most modern combiners do? Or
it or? Doesn't. No.
Really?
It's got a nice sets of connections, and, you know, yeah. You can even pose the arms.
Yes. Important question. Can you throw it down a flight of stairs and it won't come apart?
Ooh.
Does it equal Omega Prime in stability?
I would say that it would probably stay mostly together.
Mm.
I'm serious. It's pretty solid. It's as solid as you would expect. Probably more so out of a Legends combiner.
Wow.
So, I mean, yeah. You know, when you think a Legends combiner, you don't expect much. But, I mean, each of the individual figures are pretty good on their own. Scrapper is probably my favorite. And then, they hold up as Devastator. I mean, probably the worst of the set is probably Mixmaster. But, yeah.
Right.
No, it's good. Worth it. Buy it. 32. That's a steal at 32.
It's not bad. Cool.
Yeah, I want to get both of them, really. I love the Human Alliance guys. Not to mention Barricade. It'd be great to get a good Barricade toy. I wasn't really too happy with the one from the movie. But hey, check this out, guys. Shout Factory's fishing for interest in the Japanese Transformers series sets in the U.S. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I just don't see it happening. As much as I'd love to watch them on a DVD player, that doesn't have to be my original one from the 90s that reads burned discs. But that's the current rumor.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
The only way I would think this is a good thing is if these sets have, at least as an option, the RTM one, the Malaysian dubs.
Totally. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have them on. I have them on. What do you call it? The video disc. You know where you burn the video to a CD-ROM and you can play it on older DVD players.
Mm-hmm.
I have it on those. And, whoa, Captain Planet. Whoa, Captain Power is broadcasting from the future. Do you hear that, guys?
I have Captain Power toys.
Yeah, were you creeped out too when those commercials first came out? Like, oh man, you guys seen that on TV? They're coming. Let's see. Does the UK Toy Fair stuff really matter to us? I'm going to say a big heap in heck yeah. How about you guys?
It's like what we're going to get eventually.
Nice. Yeah. Thing. Yeah, it looks pretty.
Especially Sea Spray, right? Am I right?
Sea Spray is the awesomest. We'll get to him in a minute. I'm pretty pretty stoked about the Power Core combiners just because how many gimmicks are they going to shove into that subline? Not to mention, it's just a subline.
Yeah, they basically took like the last five lines and put them into a blender, and then, you know, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, what is it like? Going to be 3-4 figures and a Bruticus set? Thought it was going to be this whole new... Here I was thinking it's going to be this whole new thing, and it's just like, oh, here's these other guys. Well, and apparently the line's going to change from Transformers Revenge of the Fallen to just Transformers, which I like, but that's going to get so confusing. But
yeah, you never know what's going to come out in that.
I like that just because I've always been just... Even in Beast Wars, I always say Transformers. But there's that one person who's looking at me like, look, you got to help me out. I was trying to get your Christmas present.
Right.
Yeah, those vague names. I mean, you guys remember when they did the repaints in Energon, calling everything Energon something?
Energon Hotshot.
Yes, Energon. What was the Jeep dude again? Strongarm?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I remember my mom calling me from Alabama where she was visiting my aunt, and she called me where she was at Walmart looking to see if she could find any of these toys I was looking for. And I was like, I'm looking for Energon Strongarm. Well, they have a whole bunch of them. And I was like, okay, is he blue? He's got some blue on him. And I had to go, well, Mom, does this say Energon and then Energon? Well, it says Energon, and it became like this whole game of who's on first. Like, Energon.
Well, you know, how many of us have gotten those phone calls from well-meaning relatives where they're like,
Hey, I'm at the store. Do you have this?
Yeah.
How about this?
Yeah, I still have that.
How about this?
Yeah, you asked me about that last week.
How about this?
You know, like, uh-huh. Thanks for looking.
The thing that really burns that harder is when they're looking at an older version of a toy that you're looking for. Like,
yeah.
You might be looking for a repaint, or here's the bright data. I'm looking for the new Optimus Prime. Let that loose in the world. You're going to get every Armada, Energon, Classics, movie, but the one you're looking for.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking today about repaints and how much hate they get. And to some degree, I feel like rightfully so. But then you think back to like G1, like first couple of years. I mean, think about it. All the Seekers, all those cars, 6 different Bumblebees, you know, Huffer repaints. I mean, like we got everything back then. And those are all considered legitimate characters of their own now. Yeah. And in fact, if you make like a Huffer and a Pipes and they look the same, you did something wrong. You know, I mean, like,
and the thing is,
it's funny how tolerant we were of it for that first line and how nothing else since has gotten that kind of sympathy, and how the sort of like 86, 87 movie line really didn't have any.
And that's like the worst line ever. That was it. It was the end. Transformers is over. Ruined forever. For now, we have to keep reliving the first 2 seasons over and over and over again. It's like 30 years later. Can I please get somebody else to look at on this comic page?
I hate fans.
Me too.
But this is all you guys.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I've written
a poem about it.
I've said this before. I had a conversation with a non-fan trying to describe the concept of repaints, and they just could not understand it. Because to like somebody outside of Transformers, they think of it rightfully as like a corporate sham, like foisted upon all of us. Like it's a scam that we've all bought into, and it kind of is.
It is. I don't accept it. I think it's a total corporate sham. I hate it all the time. I bitch about it constantly, unless it's Thundercracker or, you know, or Skywarp. Then it's okay. Then that's fine. In fact, if it's Thundercracker or Skywarp, I insist. If you do a Starscream, you have to repaint it. I mean, isn't that how we are about it?
Yeah.
You know, you repaint
somebody into Blades, and we're like, you like lazy corporate bastards, but man, they forget our Skywarp. Or release it at BotCon, but
heaven
we're not
forbid.
Bitter.
Heaven forbid the place it wouldn't sit around on clearance. Then it's the worst thing ever.
Well, there's that subtle line between, like, it'll sit around on clearance for, you know, $5 instead of $10, and all of a sudden it's like $250.
And that's the part that makes it, oh, God, why do I get myself into this every time? You can't really get too mad at anything, because at the end of the day, this is all self-imposed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, God, why do I talk to these idiots in the fandom? Exactly. Yeah. Why do you? You've got a social – well, part of – some of you have a social life.
Some people.
You know, you get so angry at the same toy. Well, why are you bothering? If you're having this much anger with your hobby, how's the California Raisins group looking? Maybe talk to those guys for a little while. You know, it's going to be okay. Remember, a couple of years ago toward the beginning of the decade when the He-Man fandom and some of the members of the Transformers fandom were like at a total flame war with each other?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And they're like, don't you idiots know the Transformers are nothing but recolors? It's like, your toys all have the same body. Two different bodies.
Two different bodies and 3 sets of arms.
Yeah, it's really? This is your flaming point? Is we got a bunch of recolors? It's like, oh, yeah? You're the guy's looking for Faker, okay?
Oh, well. And what, you know, we should say this for new Soundwave, but Wundar has me good and ticked off in the new releases.
I'm still remembering when I really wanted a Stinkor, which was just I had to have a Stinkor so bad, and I was too young to realize it was just Mossman with Mechanex armor on. Not Mossman.
No. Stinkor wasn't that.
He was Merman. He was Merman. Mossman's beast. Beastman without his armor.
Mossman is Beastman with fur a la Panther.
Yeah, someone someone put some glue on them and rubbed them around in some dust. A new toy.
Yeah.
They smelled wonderful. Well, let's,
you gotta love the 80s.
I do.
Oh, man. Those were
every time I walk into Hot Topic.
Let's face it, everything's better. Everything from the 80s is better.
Yeah, or at least the internet will tell you until they actually touch something from the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, Masterpiece Optimus Prime is the toy everybody had when they were a little kid in 1984.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember.
Well, I guess that original Optimus Prime toy was a very masterful toy for its time. That had a lot of articulation and transformed. It looked good in both molds. It had more articulation than friggin' He-Man toys did, if you think about it, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So it was a spectacular toy, and that's why it was the flagship of the line.
Which it really kind of
bad toy. I mean,
it kind of sucked that the rest of the toys didn't have as much articulation. I was like, whoops, sorry, you got the bum one, guys.
Prowl looks cool if I leave him right there.
I still remember how ticked off I was at looking forward to getting a Hound for so long and getting him and being like, really? The Jeep is bent over. And then I was like arguing as a kid because, you know, his arms are hidden behind the wheels. It's like, how can he reach? He can't even point his gun up. Ugh, I was so angry. He had little T-Rex arms. Anyway, well, here's another rumor, guys. Uncle Phil is supposed to voice Silverbolt in Transformers 3. You know, James Avery.
Wasn't he supposed to be dead?
That's another rumor, but yeah. No, he's still alive.
Yeah, we did.
James Avery voices all sorts of stuff, doesn't he, though? I mean, that's Shredder. Yeah, he's all over the place.
Yeah, he's a good voice actor.
Oh, he was Shredder. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be awesome, I think, because all these other voice actors, it's like Uncle Phil. It's just like when Eddie Winslow was Jazz. I was like, yeah, okay, he's got two lines, but guess what? It's Eddie Winslow. All he pretty much said was, what's up, little bitches? And that was it. I was like, what? Really?
I was like, specify the what's up, little bitches is like the line that destroyed that movie for me.
Really, it was the plot for me. But
the opening credits.
Same difference.
The deleted scenes, you know, the plot. And
But I thought we didn't even have a script yet. Like, how much faith can we put in this?
Here's my crazy part. Have you guys noticed that aside from Peter Cullen, the voice actors, they'll be like, hey, Frank Welker's in this one. Hey, Uncle Phil's in this one. Hey, Eddie Winslow's in this one. Yeah, but could you give them some lines?
You know, I had this random thought the other day about how, you know, fans have insisted on certain people playing their original roles, and that's why we got Peter Cullen. And, you know, Primus knows we're all happy we got Peter Cullen as fans. But to some degree, I wonder if some of the lack of characterization of the robots and just even the lackluster dialogue in general that we've gotten from Transformers wouldn't maybe have been corrected by the more standard Hollywood procedure of inserting stars in those roles, who would have stopped and said, no, I need to say something better here because I'm a brand and I want to keep getting paid $40 million a picture. Yeah, and I'm not going to let you have me say this stupid thing. Whereas Peter Cullen had no leverage except, like, the forums really want me to be here. You know? Yeah, So I sometimes I wonder if that might not have actually improved the movies to bring in the level of star power that usually gets brought in for this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Not to mention, think for a second how everyone – first it was like all of us robot dorks on forums and stuff. We want Peter Cullen to be it. Well, those who really cared. And then all of a sudden the wizard and comic book crowd were like, yeah, Peter Cullen. And if it's not Peter Cullen, it's not real. It's like, you just look that up on Wikipedia.
Right. Well, I think Peter Cullen is a fantastic voice for Prime. I think he's great. I just wonder, especially because I feel like the writing was really lackluster, that I think, like with Star Trek, the same writers, but I think the director and the cast, I wouldn't be surprised if they really improved a lot of what they got on the ground.
That's
because
solid.
we don't get that in a movie that's largely animated, which is what Transformers really is.
Yeah,
you know, you get improvement in Shia LaBeouf's dialogue. I mean, when he got something that wasn't funny, I bet he made it funny.
Right. Should I really say this? Okay.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah.
Megan
Peter
Fox, Cullen
never
boy.
Had that opportunity, and you know, everybody else had like what, 2-3 lines.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you really look at it, I mean, you had John Turturro, you know, not and the guy who played Spike's dad. He's a pretty good actor. I forget his name, but he's in
Kevin
thing.
Kevin Dunn, poor Kevin Dunn, fantastic character actor, trying to carry that whole movie on his back.
He was in Small Soldiers, American Godzilla.
He's in, oh yeah,
he was on an episode of Roseanne.
He was great in. He was one of the best parts of that godforsaken Godzilla movie. Even
yeah, he's a good actor. I mean,
Kevin Dunn should have his. If anybody's listening who has power over these kids, Kevin Dunn like needs his own TV series or his own movie or whatever.
Because the TV executives are sitting around on Wednesday night listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Well, they should be.
Well, you read our Twitter feeds, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, you know, James Gandolfini got his own show, and he was a great character actor before that. He's somebody I recognized in the same ilk, and Kevin Dunn just has not gotten his shot, in my opinion.
You know, imagine James Gandolfini as one of the robots. I mean, he was in Where the Wild Things Are. I mean, he can obviously – he obviously has more range in playing an Italian guy.
He's great at playing Tony Soprano.
Yeah, he was in 8mm, but he always – it's like up until then, he's always playing villains, and then all of a sudden he's in that family movie with Ben Affleck, and I'm like, I didn't bother watching, but it's like, you know, I wonder how good he is in something else, and I'm like, let's get a Swindle played by James Gandolfini.
Oh,
that would not be off.
Oh, that would be amazing. Well, I mean, even thinking like James Gandolfini in movies like, you know, The Mexican, which is not a great movie, but he was incredible in her. If you go back to True Romance, which is a great movie, but he really stands out in, even amongst a lot of really other great performances. Character actors really make a lot of these things.
Yeah, James Gandolfini, he's really good at being someone you shouldn't like.
Well, the character actors are the people who are there because of their, like, outright talent and charisma that overrides all. Instead of, like, their boobs or their pecs.
Well, that's the difference between a character actor and an actor that's a brand. You're going to have the brand, basically, and this is Shia LaBeouf as this guy. This is Jack Nicholson as this guy. Right. Here's this guy acting his ass off and selling it every minute.
Well, and that's why there even is a Best Supporting Actor nomination, because those people really do shore up these movies.
True.
And Kevin Dunn tries so hard in Revenge of the Fallen. It's just like, oh my God, someone's acting in this movie. It almost takes you out of it. You're like, wait a minute. I'm like into this for a second, and then he's gone.
See, with James Avery as a Silverbolt, I'm just hoping to wait to see the part where he throws Mudflap out the front door of the mansion after a fat joke. It's like, yep, Jolt's going to be like, yo, Uncle Phil. And he's going to be like, you fat man. And then,
get the hell out of my house. Be great.
Thing. We got a little look at a lovely toy called Sea Spray. What's going on there, guys?
There he is. We're joined
Flipper
by
spray.
Him.
He's got
they
Flipper.
Call him Flipper.
Yes.
Flipper.
Awesome.
How cool is that?
He's got a scuba mask on his robot head. He doesn't have a dorky visor. He's got a scuba mask. I'm going to buy three of these and sleep with them. It's going to be like, you remember the kid on Christmas Story sleeping with a little Zeppelin? It will be like that with a little Sea Spray. Like, oh.
Yeah. I feel like with this Sea Spray toy that it like Hasbro's like popped up with this thing. And like, here's a classic Sea Spray. And you look at it, you're like, oh. And Hasbro goes, wasn't it what you wanted? I was like, yeah, it's exactly what I wanted. I just didn't realize it would suck so much.
Oh, what are you talking about? Sea Spray is exactly like Big Daddy from the last movie line. There's a certain subject of people like me that are just like, yes, yes, now see if we can get him to Windbreaker. And that's what happened.
Yes.
But I just, Sea Spray here is like the name printed on the package, and he's a hovercraft, and his engines are in the right place, and he's got kind of the same color scheme, but...
Oh, well, that's just good. Don't worry. They'll take care of that on the repaint.
Maybe I'm waiting for the repaint. This is like the Power Glide, where it's like, we've spent thousands of dollars recreating a toy from the 80s. We've spent thousands of dollars researching what people wanted from this toy. And then when we got to the last part of it, we decided to paint it a completely different color from the 80s toy. Like, oh.
Well, you know the first
right.
event's going to be a Decepticon named Jimmy Walker.
Right.
And, but see, it's going to be a homage to a guy in G2. And then we're going to have a Walmart exclusive that's painted like Sea Spray. And if by then the BotCon guys can touch the movie toys, we'll get G2 Sea Spray.
Or you could break down and buy the Japanese version that will come out that will instantly just be painted the right colors.
Yeah, but it'll be a house.
By very confused
yeah, it'll be
Japanese
blue chrome.
People, like,
it'll be like, hey, how much did you just spend on that toy? 25. You? 70. When's it getting here? Don't know.
Yeah.
See, I still want, on that note, I want the classic Bumblebee toy redone in chrome.
Yes.
Mm.
No.
You know, I still got...
You can shut up, Ender.
Jeez. I've got my chrome hubcap.
So you're just doing that maliciously at this point.
Yes, I am.
You know, the chrome of the G2 guys didn't flake as much as come Beast Wars or anything Takara's done. I mean...
It's a mystery.
It's like, yeah, I've got my hubcap every once in a while pull out, and yeah, he's pretty much held up while, like, I've got some Japanese Beast Wars medals, guys, that I bought brand new, and they're flaking out of the box. So
forget Beast Wars medals, Transmetal 2 Scourge.
Word. Mm. Yeah. Try to transform him, guys. Just try. Oh, he just fell apart. That was just taking him out of the package. Okay, well, is anybody looking at the Big Bad Toy Store ad for this week? Because I'd like to hear someone lecture people about our wonderful folks at Big Bad Toy Store.
I don't think there's been an ad yet this week.
Well, you know what? There doesn't have to be when you're Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah, I have already personally given, I think in the last 48 hours, nearly $100 to Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah,
you pre-ordered those two Bruticus sets, didn't you?
No, I pre-ordered one of those two Bruticus sets.
Oh, well, no. How'd you get to almost $100?
I'm tempted by the whole thing, but a good swindle is just instant win to me. I'm a big swindle fan, and hey, it's the toy that sells itself.
You don't feel compelled to buy the other one, though?
I do feel compelled, and maybe I think, you know, if the painted versions were there, I might be pulled in, but they are, you know. They're not cheap things, so I'm gauging my response. I'm a huge Swindle fan in general. Any Swindle toy really kind of needs to be bought, in my opinion. And this is a really good one, and you can pre-order it at a very reasonable price at Big Bad Toy Store right now. I broke down and pre-ordered the Deadpool I have been meaning to.
Ooh,
from there, I'm a big Deadpool fan. Swindle and Deadpool, you know, there's a combo.
Oh, yes. God. Oh, the hours of entertainment that could be had.
And Big Bad Toy Store, and this is the only place I know of right now that has a pre-order going for this, has the, I don't know if they're Diablock or what. Diablock. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Or if, you know, we were joking about them as being a continuation of the Built to Suck line. I pre-ordered the Prime because I collect Primes and I'm going to get that Prime. And you people who do that as well, you know you're out there, and Big Bad is your best hope.
Okay, to be completely fair, of the two sets, Prime is the less bad.
Well, we don't know what the rest of them is going to look like, and you know it's Takara to go shove at least one more out. And who knows, maybe that'll be the beautiful one. I'd be like, wow, really? That's made of blocks?
No,
I don't see that happening.
No.
Yeah, I don't.
No, you know what? This line is going to suck. It looks like it sucks. It's going to totally suck. But you know what? We're collectors, and we want to be assured we have these things. And the best way to do that, everybody, is to go to Big Bad Toy Store and pre-order yours now.
We always talk about how great Big Bad Toy Store is, and everyone knows. It's like going, you know, I need garbage bags. I'm going to go to Walmart. I need this toy. I'm going to go to Big Bad Toy Store. But we never really talk about how good their customer service is. And I got this wonderful story from 03, yes. My mother wanted me to give her basically a list of toys I had wanted that she could order, because she basically, here I was an adult, you know, whatever, writing a Christmas list for my mommy to email her. So I wrote this big – everything was on Big Bad Toy Store so she could easily find it, okay? So I just did Big Bad Toy Store links for everything. And, you know, she gave me a budget, and I totally filled this budget up and sent it to her. And basically something happened, and there was a problem where shipping was not going to show up till after Christmas. And my mom, they called my mom to let her know, and mom was like, no, no, I got to have these things Christmas morning. My baby boy, yeah, I'm in my mid-20s, mom. My baby boy needs his robots and blah, blah. So they took the time to FedEx, without charging her extra, expedited delivery, and had it there the next day before Christmas Eve. Yeah, that's crazy, because I've bought stuff and not gotten it for months, and these guys are that good. And well, I'm not just saying that because they're our sponsor or anything. Heavens no, but we'd be wonderful if you'd click their ad on our site and buy something. But they got some great customer service, and yeah, right on. High five, yep. Everybody.
High five. Yeah, they are our sponsor, and we do mention them more frequently because of that, but I honestly, 100%, I buy more from Big Bad Toy Store than any other site. I always have for the last 10 years. And as long as I've been buying toys in the last 10 years anyway.
Well, you know, with
RFC. If I just buy it from Big Bad Toy Store, I don't buy it from anywhere else because it's reliable.
And Big Bad Toy Store would not be our sponsor if we did not believe in them 100%.
Yeah, we chased after them. We're pretty much an independent thing. We were like, let's see if we can get some sponsors. And what did we do? We reached out to the ones we wanted to sponsor. It's not just anybody. I mean, you don't see a Sprite ad on the site.
You know, no, but we sure would love to have a Cheerwine ad.
Like I said, products we believe in versus anything. You know, there's no Ebony ad on our site, okay?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't even know what that game is. I'm so sick of it. Okay, moving on. Speaking of Seed Spray, this week's Twitter Theater, we picked out Sea Change. Guys?
It's an episode. It's definitely a G1
there's
episode. Change.
There's a change, and I believe the C is involved.
You picked out Sea Change?
You mean it's not C? It's
I had nothing to do with this, I want to say. I didn't pick out crap.
This is yet another precursor to the Kiss Player series.
this is the one cartoon when it came out. You know, you ran. If I don't know if you guys did this, but when I get off the bus at school, my neighbor I was living, I had exactly 4 minutes to get home in time for Transformers to come on. So I do this mad dash 2 blocks to get to my house, and I'd get there just in time to hear the dun 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 dun. And it's like you'd run. Yes, Sea Change. Crap.
Until the late 90s when I ordered my first really bad VHS copy of the complete G1 series, I never saw Sea Change. And this is because the programmers of television of all that era probably aired the thing twice and had the sense never ever to do it again.
Oh no, in fact the worst one more than the good ones back then, it seemed. I mean, it was.
I didn't
that's
see
because
Sea
those
Change.
Were a majority.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's because there were more worse ones.
Yeah, it's hard to miss 60% of the episodes, but Sea Change. I'm hard pressed to think of a much worse one than Sea Change. Besides, maybe you know, Carnage in C Minor, which we have discussed in other properties lately. But
yeah.
I mean that was just like.
You know, Kremzeek
every
is 10 pretty
seconds.
Bad, too.
Kremzeek, yeah. You know what, though? Kremzeek has a it, like, moves from point to point to point and, like...
Yeah. I mean, season
you know,
one
there's
or
only
two.
One time you're going, what the hell? That's like, you know, and it's maybe it's the whole time of Kremzeek, but it's only one part of Kremzeek that is implausible and really hard to buy. Granted,
right.
The thrust of the story, but...
No,
you're not. Yeah, Sea Change. You Sea Change is like this cacophony of like, wait, you what? Where? Who? What? Oh my god! A tree? A feet? What? Are they sex? No! Oh! Oh! I mean, just like the whole thing is just like pain on top of pain on top of pain. Oh, the credits are such a relief by the end of that awful show.
I think we have a new goal with Twitter Theater here, which is to see how many episodes it takes to break Ender's mind.
You talk about this every episode.
I think we're almost there.
Do I ever pick
almost?
A good one?
Dude, yeah. Oh, I mean, just of all. I mean. any episode. I think if you said, like, what's the worst episode? We're like, Sea Change. Okay. You would have to get through the sentence. Just like, Rumble's a tree. Rumble's a tree in this episode, people.
Yes.
Next time you're sitting there with your I don't want to say not fan friends, but the ones that are just kind of like, yeah, casually like, yeah, Transformers just ain't like there used to be, and you're like, thank God. Well, for those of you who are, you know, okay. Next summer when Transformers 3 comes out and you're standing in line at Burger King to get a barbecue Spectacon or whatever, yeah, and you overhear some guys looking at the Transformers kids' meal toys going, and they say, man, that ain't like what they used to be. Throw them a copy of this episode and say, no, you know, see, what?
I'd say that's exactly wrong. That's not fair. Honestly, this episode is so bad. I mean, like, on the scale of 1 to 10, it's like, yeah, I'll grant you, far too many episodes of G1 fall between, like, you know, 60% good and,
or
like,
Blitzwing shooting a scoreboard for points.
Yeah,
you know what? That was
and hiring a football coach as a tactician.
That episode,
yes.
That episode though had extremely good Decepticon characterization.
Yeah,
it was
the
funny.
Characters was, we're idiots. Why are we a threat?
No, I thought it very much defined who the Decepticons were. There was a lot of, you know, stupidity in the middle, but it have its redeeming qualities. Of Sea Change.
What was the episode? I'll get to that in a second. I always forget about it, and I know Skullface is going to post the answer to this once he looks it up on Wikipedia. The episode where there's a fire, and Inferno and Red Alert come running, like, oh, crap, a fire. We've got to shoot it out. And they start shooting at the fire. That is writing. That is beautiful writing. But here's the good point of Sea Change. If you guys were arguing with the nerds toward the late 90s, early 2000s, aughts, whatever you call it, the guys you liked Animorph toys, you know, I bought them on clearance, they weren't that bad. There's some of us that honestly liked them, and they weren't so outraged. I know a lot of people were like bastard Transformers because they had to tour Transformers on them. This is four crossovers, and people were just mad that some guy named Greg that turned into a monkey was on the same shelf as a Cheetor. But here it is.
Cheetor didn't turn into no monkey. I don't see why he's so great.
Exactly. Here's the one redeeming factor of Sea Change. What does Animorphs have anything to do? They turn into people. Yeah, well, Sea Spray certainly turned into a mermaid, and that was okay.
I'm sorry. You're calling that a good point of this episode?
That is
it's
your only
linked
point.
To Animorphs?
That is your point. That
it's linked to Animorphs? Is its best point?
Yes.
It's like saying diarrhea is the best part of this recipe.
I'll have you know, Ender, sometimes it's for me.
Yeah. Well, in Animorphs, maybe, but...
The best thing about Animorphs was the alien figures, because you're like, you know, you get a Transformer, you're like, okay, kind of... Even the worst Transformers, Injector, well, he kind of looks like something. Animorphs with the alien guys, you just wad it up into a bunch of pieces, and now it's an alien mode. Look at that. Well, I don't know about you guys, but let's take a break for a few seconds. I think XV's got a tinkle. You've been listening to RSC. We'll be back to you in a minute.
The question to a tank. No, it's not. They're going to transform into one robot.
Introducing Duocons, Decepticon 2-in-1s. They think they're twice as tough as any Autobot, and maybe they are.
The Transformers.
But they haven't met the Throttlebots yet.
The Transformers.
Now collect over 50 Transformers decoys free in specially marked packages.
And we are back. I hope you guys enjoyed that beautiful in-flight movie. We showed you guys Look Who's Talking 3. And if anyone doesn't know, that's the one where it's dogs instead of babies. Who started
that? Let me get my sick bag put away.
Yeah, that was a great one, wasn't it? Anyway. We're back to the show, and how about we get to what happened this day in history. JD, take it away.
Yes, February 2nd, hey, Groundhog Day, 1997, saw the premiere, the one, the amazing, yes, Beast Wars Possession.
Hoo-ah.
Yes, starring Starscream.
Mm-hmm. Great episode, written by Ian Weir, who would go on to write Code of the Hero.
You know, Scaleface is going to post later to tell you that it's actually just Code of Hero, not Code of the Hero.
You know what? Typos from 20 years ago do not concern me. Or 10 years, or whatever they are, Scaleface. I understand.
Better not be 20 years ago already.
Yeah, I know. Well,
wow. Oh, yeah, time's going fast.
You know, 10 and 20 years just feel like the same thing to me at this point, so... No, my point being, before we got derided by, talking about Scaleface, that these were good episodes written by the same person. And frequently that is what you will find throughout a lot of animated history, is that a lot of the better episodes that are out there were all written by the same people.
You know,
whatever series they're in.
You know, I remember this was pretty fresh into the run of Beast Wars, and, you know, a lot of us were around at the time. We were, like, still kind of figuring out if we liked it or not. Like, this is a really, really fun show, blah, 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 I don't know. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Starscream. And I was just like, I don't – if you were online in any way or what have you, you just totally – we're like, oh my god, Starscream, Starscream. And it was like, you're telling people, dude, G1, G1. And you're spelling correctly, but you're G1ing it up. You know,
because well, this was the first, I mean, there was, I think, maybe like one little dream sequence Cheetor had before this that was like, this is really connected to the old cartoon. And it really solidified my interest in the show.
How long ago was that? Was that 12 years or so?
97.
God, 13. Can you believe that?
13 Whoa. Years.
That was... Yeah, actually, I was in tech school at the time, and then I transferred to college, so yeah.
Wow. You're old.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? Because you're like, I'm only 31, and people still say, I'm young, and I'm like, no, you don't understand. My parents were buying me Christmas presents at my age. What's my problem?
I'm buying my kid presents now.
Ender's the only one on track here, guys.
Yeah.
You know what else happened this week? Someone died, someone was born, and something came on in a country, and you didn't see it until it went on the internet.
And somebody died in a country that you didn't see until it got on the internet either.
My third child will be born in January.
Beautiful. Congratulations.
Right on. Just stay in history.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Nope. You know, I got to wonder the level of dedication it takes to find out the births and dates of everybody involved in Transformers. So give it up to the TF Wiki guys for knowing that stuff. I would never even guess to look that up. I mean...
Yeah, they're but, like,
good job, schmucks.
You know, the thing is, you got to say, like, hey, this person had a whole life and died and might have did some good things, but the only thing I even know is that they voiced one guy for 5 seconds in a cartoon.
That's in a language you don't know.
And that's
even the English, in the English one, if you saw Peter Cullen in the street, would he just be another short hick? Or, you know, it's kind of sad if you think about it. You're worth
depends. Do I hear him ordering a hot dog or not?
Well, if he was never Optimus Prime or the guy on Voltron or you or anything, would you care? But no. Dude,
that's true.
Wasn't he half of the guys on Voltron?
Yeah, I think he was. That and Boomerang, too. No, he's on Cartoon Network, right?
He's in a lot of stuff. If you listen, you hear Peter Cullen all over the place.
Peter Cullen's
lots
great.
Of random voiceovers.
He's Venger.
The funny thing about Peter Cullen's
show, Venger with the one horn?
Oh, mm-hmm. Dude, that was him?
That was him. That's him.
Oh, wow. I didn't think about that.
I have this thing. This is like my mutant power. 90% of the time, I can hear at least any male voice. There is something unique about every male voice to me. If you've done like one thing in cartoons, I can hear you anywhere.
You know the funny thing? Yeah, Brian. But, well,
fight me. Anyway, no, I mean, no, I say male voice because sometimes I can do it with women and sometimes I can't. There's something
to Brian in his
with any.
You know, the funny thing is, you hear these voices and like, you know, BotCon and all that, we've all gotten accustomed to seeing them in person. But until you see them in person, they seem kind of different, don't they? Like, Gary Chalk, that's his normal speaking voice.
Oh, Gary Chalk. Yeah. Oh, my God. Gary Chalk, I was walking through the BotCon in Chicago, like, I don't know, 5-6 years back. And he's, like, talking about how somebody, like, left a teddy bear in his room or something.
And
I'm just walking through the hall. I can't see him. I'm not standing in the panel. I'm, like, walking somewhere else. But I hear this voice ringing down the hallway. It's like, oh my God, Optimus Primal is in that room. It was totally surreal.
Yeah, what was it, BotCon 01 or something? I think 01. He was there, and I didn't have a really good seat, and I just heard Optimus speaking. It was another one of those moments where I was scared I was losing my mind, like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Right. where was it in 01?
01, Durham, North Carolina.
Okay, I wasn't there for that. I was wondering if you were in that room that I wasn't in. I couldn't even see him there. I think he like pops up in sliders at one point. I was like, ah! There he is.
That's Gary Chalk's career. You just turn on a channel. Yeah. Hey, guys.
Oop, or Michael Bell. He'll pop up in MASH. He'll pop up in Star Trek The Next Generation.
And Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. All right.
The thing is with Peter Cullen is for the longest.
Raziel?
Got that giant voice. You know, the big voice. Even Eeyore sounded huge. And then when I finally got to see him in person, I saw he's kind of a short guy. And I was just like, wow, all that comes from that little guy?
Yes, yes, it does.
And the worst thing is, I've seen him drunk too because of BotCon. So maybe
you know him quite well.
Peter Cullen jokes I've made.
Well, drunk voice actors at BotCon. Anyway, that's a whole podcast on its own. But
I'd love to be a voice actor. What a great job!
It's when I saw Peter Cullen fall up an escalator.
Gosh.
Why, down an escalator or off an escalator? that's a distinction there.
Okay, how an escalator goes. You know, like you're going up, he's going up to his room, and his handler's like, no, guys, leave Optimus alone. And the whole time he's like, oh, I'm Optimus Prime, just shouting up. You know, he's having a good time. He was excited. Looked like he's about to die. And because when he does the Optimus voice, he like sucks his chest up a little. And he kept doing this stuff for me and us. And it was like he was obviously had a great time. And the escalator's going up. And it's going up. And all of a sudden you just see him, whoop, and he falls over. But the handler's like holding on to him. And have you ever seen someone dangling on their toes being held by a shirt like in a movie or something? There's Peter Cullen up the stairs. And that was the moment where I say, if I one person say, Michael Bay raped my childhood ever again, I will say, go to a con.
Yeah, well, that too is Michael Bay raping your childhood. Because you got to realize about poor Peter Cullen at this point, in terms of that kind of attention, his, like, I'm Optimus Prime thing, is this is like a low-rent voice actor for, what, 25 years? And all of a sudden, some dinky-ass thing he did in 1985 pops back up. He's been looked over for it for like seven series in the middle. I mean, Gary Chalk has done far more Optimus Prime in terms of time than Peter Cullen ever did. But all of a sudden, Peter Cullen gets all the attention. All of a sudden, Peter Cullen is a movie star.
You know,
and
Michael Bay needs to make
all these people who adore him and buying him drinks, and there he is falling down the escalator. I mean, like that's what happens to people with too much attention.
No, Michael Bay needs to make
no one is ever meant to get that.
Are you done yet?
Never! Yeah, go ahead.
The moment's passed now. I was going to say that Michael Bay needs to do a big screen remake of Voltron and get Peter Cullen in on that. So that then he's got, big recognition for the two little dinky things he did.
I don't even think that comment was worth interrupting me for.
See, the thing
it would have been at the time, but you just wouldn't shut up.
Well, your lack of assertiveness is not my problem.
See, the thing is, the whole time you're speaking, Ender, I kept hearing little dings and like, there's another scale face correction. There's another scale face correction. There's another scale face correction. You know what? His whole – Peter Cullen's
I'm sure scale face had something to say about how I went tinkle a minute ago, but
– He knows what's in it, okay? You think it's funny, but he's outside your window staring right – oh, there he is.
I don't think it's funny. He's there. I wave.
Scaleface, I live in a bad neighborhood, dude.
I pour some cat food out there every once in a while.
I live in a bad neighborhood. Scaleface, take cover. Christ.
Or don't.
He's not even wearing pants. This is getting creepy. Anyway.
Are we on?
Yes. Great. Welcome to Rob's RFC, guys.
Right, can't.
Oh, man. I'm
subscribing to Star Wars, Luke Skywalker, Transformer. He goes farting out little honkies. Yeah, because it does. Transform it. He'll just fall right out of that butt. Okay. Back on topic. Okay, this is going to be.
We have a topic?
We do. Yeah, it's called.
It's okay, Brian, I'll edit all that out.
It's called.
Well, that's way too good to take out.
Okay, this is going to be the one that's going to have maybe some arguing, maybe some whatnot. We talked about this last week, guys. Worst toy ever. And I'm going to let you guys lead the way, and I'll fill in after the one. Who wants to go first? What's your first toy ever?
Supreme Cheetor. I thought that was easy. Okay, we're done. All right.
Now, before I get started, that's nothing to do with the cartoon. Toy.
What?
Yeah, nothing to do with the cartoon.
The Supreme Cheetor. I'm not sure. I'm having trouble getting beyond that. I tried to think of something worse. I spent a good deal of time trying to think of something worse.
It's a hard one, yeah.
And you guys know from my analysis of last week that it's not like I don't put thought into these things. I'm having trouble trying something worse than that.
Yeah, if anything, because
really
the
thought
epic,
about it, like, maybe
the epic financial ripoff that he is.
Oh, yes.
Nobody can top that.
What was the Autobot?
Blur from Cybertron?
No. It was a G1 Transformer. Late G1. It was the Autobot answer to Six Shot.
Quick Switch.
Quick Switch might be worse.
Ooh,
quick Switch.
Close.
I have a quick Switch. He's awful. Quick Switch my ass.
No. Six Shot Son. He turns into six different
shot,
blocks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, has his problems, but he's an awesome robot and he's an awesome spaceship. Quick Switch is a lousy robot, a lousy wolf, a lousy spaceship, a lousy drill, a lousy car, and a lousy something else I'm having trouble remembering. Boat. It's a lousy boat.
You ever have a kid?
It's a brick. It's a brick, and it's like you take the brick and like the limbs pop off, and he's a robot. You take the brick and the nose points off, and he's a boat. You take a brick and the nose and the wings point off, and he's a spaceship. I mean, it's just awful. Awful all around. So that's the only toy I would say competes with Supreme Cheetor.
You totally just described Red Ultra Magnus, though. But you ever get a kid making something with Lego blocks and shows it to you and has to tell you what it is? That's Six Shot. I mean, Quick Switch.
He's yeah, pretty like, much.
It's a plane. Oh.
Sure.
Okay.
You know what solidified how bad Quick Switch was for me? There's like a Kebe, I don't know, anyone pronounce that better for me?
Let's roll with it.
We'll go with let's that. Roll it. Version of him that I saw on eBay. And just to see him in the simplified colors.
There
just
was
like,
a candy toy Quick Switch?
There was. I've seen it.
Wow.
Just in pictures, but it's just like, wow. There's just nothing to that. In fact, there is like I've seen a non-transforming decoy sort of thing of the drill of the same variety. And it's just like, that toy was nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's like, what, 4 inches by 6 inches by 2 inches of brick with little dots to point out. And sadly enough, it probably makes the best version of like a G1, like G-Axis that anything could.
You know, there's that fan company that makes the little smallest Dinobots.
Yeah.
I wonder when they're going to get around to doing a smallest Quick Switch.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
God.
Can't come soon enough.
You guys seen that Japanese resin model of a Six Shot that's popping up lately?
No.
It actually.
No, pass it along.
Let me get that link again. Derek Wyatt was talking about it on his Twitter. And it's actually pretty good. If they can do that, I think it's only like a few inches tall. It's not smallest, but maybe basic scout sized. Let me see if I can find it while you guys are comparing worst toy ever. But yeah, Quick Switch and Supreme Cheetor. Those are they're going to have about a battle royal
together. Now we've talked a bit about Quick Switch. What about Supreme Cheetor? What do we have to say about the awfulness of that toy? Could stand.
It was there.
He couldn't stand. Yeah, his complexity and his size are way out of whack.
He hardly transformed at all. Wasn't it like you took a cat and you stood it up? And it was like, what, was $45 at the time or something like that?
$40. It was $40.
It was just $40? Okay.
That was the original price.
I'm adding $5 out of bitterness. And that's maybe it's just a tax I paid because I was in the city of Chicago.
Ah, well, that would do it, wouldn't it?
Oh, what an awful time.
I remember
the worst part, wasn't it? The other worst part of this, I'm sorry, is to derail, but the other worst part of Supreme Cheetor was that it was so bad and no one bought it that at the time, it turned out that this toy got through, but there was that AirAttack Optimus Primal coming out that was a good toy that spent a few months seemingly canceled because Supreme Cheetor had done so badly.
Yeah, there's the link there in the discussion we'll probably put up in the show notes, the one that Derek Wyatt was posting on his Twitter saying, like, wow, about, and it really is. But, I remember it wasn't so much AirAttack Primal for me. It was I saw some protos of Supreme Cheetor a good couple of months before he came out, and it looked great in these prototypes. Mind you, back then, JPEGs were really grainy and small, but I like totally was looking forward to it. And then I walk into Walmart and there's just a million of them. And I'm like, what is that? And it's like 40, what? I was at the idea it was going to be like $20. I have no clue why I thought it would be cheaper, but it was like, yeah, it was too much. It was like a cell phone payment at the time.
Yeah. Well, to get $20 for that. Well, a lot of Beast machines felt overpriced, didn't it? I remember picking up the Rat Trap out of the second wave that finally came out. That was actually a decent toy. I mean, in terms of its show accuracy.
I like the Rat Trap.
No, it was a decent toy. But I remember my then girlfriend, now wife, who tolerates me buying all sorts of insane crap, looking at me at a Kmart as I bought this thing going, "You're paying what for that?" You know, like, it was insane when I picked it up when the price rang up. That was like straitjacket level. That was really bad.
You paid release for Cheetor?
Hmm?
You paid release for Supreme Cheetor?
I did.
Wow.
I paid $40.
And you're complaining about how much Rat Trap cost?
No, well, the entire second wave of Beast Machines was a whole nother world of quality. It was much better than the first line. But Supreme Cheetor was right in between. It was big. And, you know, to some degree, I think on that AirAttack Optimus Primal level, I wanted to support the line. I thought it was a big toy. I mean, I joked at the time what it was the first toy for many years in the Transformers line that we had seen that was big enough to lose a fight with Metroplex.
You want to know how I ended up with my Supreme Cheetor? You guys remember the McDonald's Beast Machines Kids Meal at the time where it came with a little coupon for $5 off a Mega or a, what was Voyager's called, Supers, whatever they were called then and stuff. You remember that coupon?
Mm-hmm.
I took that coupon from one of my, I think it was the Black Arachnia one. That's my memory for you guys. And I went to Target, bought Beast Machines, Beast Machines Megatron, which was a great buy at $10 instead of $15. And the guy literally said, "Dude, could you take one of these Cheetors?" And there was like still a bunch of them. And I was like, "I'm not paying that much for them." He goes, "I'll give you an employee discount." You know how much I paid for Supreme Cheetor?
$10.
Keep going lower.
$5.
Oh, really?
Keep going lower.
Wow, $3.
Keep going lower.
$1.99.
Keep going lower. I got a fucking dollar, dude. He knocked it down all the way to $1. I was like, okay, I'll take it now.
Nice.
I'd like to invite the inclusion of the "you go to hell" that Chris spewed. I can't say it that loud or with that much feeling, or certainly not in that high a pitch, but you really deserve it right now.
I came back to that same Target 2 years. 2 years later, all those Cheetors are still there collecting dust on clearance, and no one was still buying them. That was a bad toy. But you know what's one we haven't thought of? What about Injector?
He's not that bad. He's just really hideous looking.
Well, his body's really small for that giant head. Captain Power's coming through again. You guys hear that? Oh, geez. We're getting messages from the future. You guys hear that?
Turn less.
Did anyone pay tell for Injector either? I mean, did anyone's grandparent go, oh, that's a good toy?
No. I mean, granted, he looked awful. It's just, I mean, I don't know. I think his major failing, again, is just that he's just really ugly. So, I mean, you can only fault him so much for that. But, I mean, he's not like a $40 ripoff, like a massive failure.
Or what about
every account?
What about the Beast Wars Neo repaint of him? That's like people don't
identical.
Identical. And how much is it? Like usually about $40-$60, and people are buying that though.
Well, it's the cheapest of the Blencons on the secondary market, but yeah, it's still way overpriced.
Yeah, people
considering you can buy the exact same toy for like $3 on eBay as Beast Wars.
I got Beast Wars second toys for cheaper box than I did actual Beast Wars toys unboxed that I bought on once.
So, now, before we finish up this worst toys topic, I just want to ask how many of us connoisseurs that we are of toys have purchased enough of the first movie, but moreover Revenge of the Fallen product to really rate those toys as to how bad they were?
I'd say I got about equal amounts of them both, and I've gotten a pretty good amount of both of them.
Were any of those? I mean, I remember looking like Mixmaster and thinking that just must be god awful. But I don't have one, so I don't feel comfortable rating it personally.
I haven't gotten Mixmaster yet. No, I don't got him yet. I want to get the Washer though. Oddly enough,
I thought a lot of those were really bad kibble formers. I mean, first movie wise, I mean, Starscream is a robot with a jet on his back.
Yeah,
stuff like that. I mean, like, is there a lot of those? I mean, like, are we ignoring those movie lines? Are they just bad they're worth ignoring?
No, I think Blazemaster is supposed to be notoriously bad, and RC from the first movie. I think those are the two from each line that everybody just rails against.
I remember I got Bone Crusher and what was it, Swindle, about a good month or two before they hit standard retail. And I was like, I opened up Bone Crusher, and I was like, and I loved Bone Crusher. For some reason, I loved Bone Crusher. And I got to Swindle and hated it because he had a belly gun. Ooh. And I didn't really hate too much of the movie toys, to be honest with you guys. I mean, I'm trying to think of ones I honestly despised.
I didn't like the movie toys, but I didn't like them enough that I just passed on them. So I can't rate them in any proper way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got it. No, a lot of people aren't that fond of the designs and stuff, but it's really hard for me not to like something in Transformers. So it's got to be, and the thing is, I probably still own it.
See, I don't have that problem.
Oh, God. Every time I watch Hoarders, I get worried about myself.
You're going to be on it someday.
And that's why I don't watch Hoarders.
I'm not going to look in that mirror.
Oh, God. I got a basement full. It's a couple thousand.
Do you keep it all in the basement, or do you let them run all right over now, the house?
Right now, they're in the basement because that's the only place they're going to fit. While I got some left in my room, I used to keep a spare room just for them, and I'd always get a place with an extra room, pretty good size. Usually, be the master bedroom would be turned into my transformer room, and the only thing else would be in there would be my computer. And I have like a little TV on top of my computer desk to play GameCube on when no one was talking about what I wanted to talk about on IRC. But, and toward the end of that, I started running out of space.
The problem.
I don't put some of my stuff in
the basement, but I've reached that point where I look like the character in the cartoon trying to pack his suitcase for the trip when he's jumping up and down on the suitcase when it's in the bed. That's about where I'm at.
At OTFCC 03, I think I dropped $1,000 there alone on toys. And I had rented a Lincoln Town car to drive there on, and I'm a tall guy, and I was smelling my knees the entire way back to Georgia driving that thing. I had it packed full. And
what
I was
did you
like,
get?
Everything. Basically what happened, I'd been going for a few years, and this was my first year of doing pretty well for myself. I miss those days. And I decided, you know what? I see these guys leaving the con with giant Rubbermaid containers full of toys. I want to be that guy. So I bought Rubbermaid containers and brought them with me. And just about everything came home with me. That's the only reason all four had dealers. It's because of me, I think.
It was profitable because of you.
Yeah, I was just like, yep. Got more smalts over here.
There was one year I went to BotCon. This is the infamous year I left with the Dead Man Starscream.
You've got a toy for a dead person at one point if you're ill.
Yeah. Oh well, this was bad. I felt real awful about this because it was Starscream, not mint in package, but in package, and I didn't have a Starscream, and it was a woman and an older woman who were selling these things, and I haggled with them. I haggled with everybody there about everything. You're trying to get a better price, and I haggled them down a whole bunch, and I'd gotten this Starscream at a really decent price. Well, they had some RoboCop toy that my then roommate wanted to get, and he went there, and he is a slightly more friendly person than I am, and got to talking to them. Well, the deal was they were selling the collection of the younger woman's recently deceased husband. Yeah. The other older woman was his mother, and they had gone there in an attempt to, keep their house by selling his collection. And there I had haggled them down on this Starscream. So I've always felt bad about this thing. So my G1 Starscream is the Dead Man Starscream. I always feel bad about the thing. Every time I look at it, I never am like, oh, wow, I got a G1 Starscream. I'm like, oh, man, I'm such a dick.
But do you still haggle?
Oh, yeah.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
How do you guys haggle? What's your haggling techniques?
Well, there's the wait for Sunday. We all do that.
Wait till they're sweating and desperate.
I had this one guy, very large guy with a lazy eye, who I fought with all weekend at BotCon this year over this little yellow eraser Prime who stands 2.5 inches high. And all I got off him was $5. I was ready to dive over the counter at this guy. I haggled him down so much. We're in the last 10 minutes on Sunday. I'm like, really? You're going to get more than $35 for this piece of... But my OCD overtook me and I bought it.
Brian's has a good point. I don't know if they still do it as much. Last time I saw them, they didn't. The Japanese guys, what's their name? The ones that usually play to paper, rock, scissors with people for toys. By Sunday, they're throwing toys. Hey, you want this? And they'll throw it at you so they don't have to take it back. That's a good way to get stuff at BotCon. Wait till Sunday and people are packing up. You want to get it for a quarter, but you guys know what my favorite way of not haggling at BotCon is? I literally just go, nah, and I just walk away. And they start lowering it for a foot away. And I'm like, okay. And he's like this one guy wanted... Well, it was a mini, but I think it was a sea spray or something. And I was like, oh, how much for a sea spray? And he was like, $25. Oh, okay. And I started walking down the table, 10. And he started doing it for me. It never fails. Just go, oh, okay. And walk away. And they will start lowering. And it only works on toys that they're not sure will sell anyway, like the shoebox full of Action Masters. Mm-hmm. How much for Action Masters? $5 a piece. Oh, okay. 10. You know, I'll give you the whole box for $5. Here you go.
I Sundayed somebody hardcore this year. I really, really wanted a Robots in Disguise Prime, just the cab, because I wanted to kitbash it into a hotspot.
Right.
But I let it go too long.
You mean half of a hot shot?
Hot spot. If you get the rest... Because I keep them displayed in a certain ways, I have all the armor from that Prime spare. So I can build it into a defense or if I want, but I didn't need the rest. I just needed a cab. But I let it go too long. I saw a couple in junk boxes and I didn't go for them at the time. So I'm searching for this thing everywhere. And I ended up haggling this guy out of taking the cab out of a Prime and Magnus he had combined from RID. I let him. I talked him into giving me the cab out of the set for $15.
Pretty impressive.
Because it was end of the day on Sunday, and I really wanted one. He really wanted every dime he could make. So I left this poor guy with a Ziploc bag full of Ultra Magnus and some.
You guys remember going to BotCons prior to all the reissues, how it was like?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it was like.
House.
Well, I remember it used to be, you'd always find one dealer having a box of just Prime parts and say, like, build your own Prime, $10, $20, whatever. And then the minute that stupid Prime reissue came out, not even the American one, like the Takara one, all of a sudden every Prime was hard to get, and they were like charging like $20 for a cab by himself. It was like, oh. Last year I could have built 40 of them for $10.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, did any of you guys find, was it just last year where they had those reissues at sale on Target?
What?
At sale at Target? Target had those reissue Primes for sale. For like,
oh yeah, yeah,
$12.
Wow, I remember.
I bought like six of them just in case I ever need these. They just seem so worth it. Nobody clearances like Target. Nobody.
I remember everyone looking for a G1 reissue Sideswipe around 04, 05. No one could find them. Everyone was like, well, people are saying they're shipping to Toys R Us, but I never see them. And then someone goes to Toy Liquidators or reports on the internet, they're at Toy Liquidators for like 50 cents. And like next thing you know, everyone's like eBay G1 original Sideswipes where they're taking them out of the box and trying to pass them off on eBay.
I got, actually, those Toys R Us reissues were a gold mine for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
They had like the Prowls and the, some of the Seekers and stuff. I mean, like, they're going for like $6.50.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, that first wave or two, you had to kill somebody to get.
Oh, I had to order that first Prime. I could never find one. We scoured the earth for that. I went to California for that thing. I remember digging for a Magnus and finding a hot rod, and I could never find the Prime. I actually had somebody ship me one of those Primes off eBay. They shipped it in a brown paper sack, and it got totally destroyed. I was like, what, are you retarded? And I sent it back to the guy.
No, I remember.
Correct.
The only reason I got Prime was because at the time, the manager at the Toys R Us in the boys section was a friend of mine. And everything I looked for, he'd hide one back for me. So I got like Scourge, everybody, just by coming in at my leisure going, hey, dude, I'm here. Okay, here they are. And he'd ring me up. But like Hot Rod was Rodimus Minor was $17.
Rodimus Major.
Major, you're right.
Rodimus
I'm sorry.
Major.
Your mom knows a Major Rodimus. But, that was $17, and then all of a sudden, Prowl is like $42. And I'm what? And then like Ultra Magnus, I just walked in Ultra Magnus. I forgot to actually tell my friend to save me an Ultra Magnus, and they had to clearance out Ultra Magnus, and that was kind of the signifier of what was to come with the G1 reissue. I don't even remember having a conversation.
They just made a few too many. Cause, I mean, I went in and bought some of those first ones at full price, and they went pretty good their first runs. And then they'd come back, and they'd just sit there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't work the second time around.
They didn't work the second time around.
Yeah. And did you ever have that conversation with someone?
That line I was really happy about.
Oh, yeah. Did you have that conversation with someone? Like, you'd be like, oh, there's the new one. You grab it, and there'd be some guy, oh, dude, that's like the old ones, right? But, hey, aren't they, like, smaller? And it's like, no, you're looking at it. Shut up. Just shut up. That is it right there. Shut up.
It's like, no, you're fatter, dumbass.
It's like every ATT argument or early AllSpark or some chat room AOL ARC argument right there was answered. They should re-release G1. Well, there it is. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. It's not going anywhere. Well, hey guys, I guess we've got an agreement. The worst toy ever was Quick Switch.
What are you throwing a curveball?
No, I'm kind of torn on this worst toy thing. I have Cheetor in mind too, but I can't decide which one. It's either going to be Transmetal 2 Cheetor or Beast Machines Mega Cheetor. Now, you know, Transmetal 2 Cheetor, all the joints are like crippled. You can't hardly move the toy any, and it's got the same just standing up problem that the Supreme one has.
And it is the hunchback of Notre Dame.
On the other hand, Transmetal 2 Cheetor can actually stand up on its own.
Yeah.
I never, ever in 10 years now got Mega Beast Machines Cheetor to stand up on its own.
I have accomplished this feat.
You know, yeah, it's called a corner. And someone strategically placed a gun.
Or some poster
I've not done
tack,
it for maybe. Long, and it's less impressive than you might expect.
You know, I Transmetal 2 Cheetor is probably one of my favorites Cheetors ever, but I admit to mistransforming him for like a good 2 months after I first got him. You know, you close the chest together, it just closes up nice and tight and sound. For some reason, that eluded me, and I had it like a good 2-3 centimeters open, closed around his head. It never even occurred to me that if I kept pushing, it would close all the way.
And I'd just be like, the fact of the matter is that almost all of these toys would be more satisfying if you were aiming a BB gun at them.
Especially
well, that'd at least be challenging with Mega
or Cheetor 45
falling down.
You know, the thing is, if you shot it in quick switch, it would bounce off and shoot right back at you.
Yes, those claws you gotta watch out for. No, you know ballistics.
That's you could close someone to death with a quick switch. You could build houses in Indonesia out of them.
They're okay, bricks. I think that's enough.
Bricks.
Well, you know.
That's his seventh mode, isn't it? The brick. Not the figurative brick, like that Transformer's a brick, but he actually transforms into a brick.
Still, even as much as I don't really like Transmetal 2 Cheetor, for some reason I totally love the recolored Tripriticus Agent, even though it's the exact same toy. Nothing's different about it except it's a different character. I don't get that.
I do like it better, too.
Although it might have helped that I only paid $3 for it.
Man, I got like 10 of them. I don't know. Well, I think we're at a standstill here. We can't really agree anything except for everything. But also, just a thought. If you threw, you throw Fortress Maximus off a building, he'll explode into shrapnel and kill someone. What about Quick Switch? Quick Switch is going, what's he going to do?
No, Quick Switch will just make a hole in the ground.
Quick Switch is still just as fragile crap as everything else. He's just no fun to play with.
All right, hey, well, Rob.
Yo.
Before we go, don't we have a new show coming up soon?
We got a couple of shows to plug right here, guys. Thanks for bringing up XV. Well, while you're at it, what's your new show on TF Radio Network?
It's called Superhero Time.
Superhero
it's about
Time.
Power Rangers and a bunch of other geeky stuff.
Wow. Podcast about something geeky?
News? Yeah, imagine that. I mean, it boggles the mind.
Do you think those Jersey Shore guys have like a podcast or like talking about the best way to fake tan?
The best crayon.
I don't know, but I'd listen to that once.
just once.
Yeah.
We got a new comic show, guys. Ender's on it. Brian's on it. JD, are you on it?
Supposedly, yes.
Supposedly, yeah. I'm not sure how to put it. What's the name again? Fan versus Fanboy? Yeah, that's totally
I thought it was Bagged and Boarded.
No, that was taken already, we found out.
Oh.
Bagged and Boarded won the contest at tformers.com, but then we found out that it was not actually.
Fanboy versus Fanboy?
Yeah. Well, Bagged and Boarded was taken by something completely inappropriate, not up to TF Radio's standards. That was kind of creepy.
Well, I can live with Fanboy versus Fanboy because I made both of them up.
Yeah, it's got a nice spy versus spy thing going for it, too. You know,
what I was going for, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, one of the spies are walking around, and whoops, there's some dynamite, everyone thinks it's a Snickers bar, and
everybody's dead.
Well, now, see, if the comic podcast was more like that, I'd probably be interested in listening to it.
Thing is, I don't read enough comics to really, I read the occasional Transformers one and Axe Cop, so...
Yeah. As long as we never decide who the black fanboy is versus the white fanboy, because that could be a whole other set of problems.
Whoa, that's 2010.
Make it a tax break.
Whoa, 2010. We ain't having that talk, everybody. Well, and don't forget to listen to
I don't
new
know
stuff.
Where that just went. So
I don't know, but I'm creeped out.
Okay, I think we're done this week.
Yeah.
That's right. We're talking about diversity hires and all sorts of things now.
We are your
this
everyday.
This is what I get for deriving a comic show name from the 1960s.
That's right. How you gotta sleep there, buddy. Well, anyway. And don't forget to listen to the new Soundwave, usually on Thursday nights. That's right, where we talk about all sorts of just geeky things that it's not Transformers or Power Rangers or comics. Well, we kind of talk about how bad we don't like the...
Because you may not know this, but we are actually all dorks.
Well, we're on a podcast that's not about self-tanning, so.
There isn't a tighter
shirt. All that says is we're pale.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. So, thanks, everybody, for listening. This is RFC. Maybe next week Brian will be back and the show will have some semblance of order. I'm Rob, and everybody sign off for me.
Bye-bye.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm Ender, so this still makes some sense.
Sense is for losers.
Bye, Rob.
Bye.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet Radio Show, online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009 Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?